Hello and welcome back to This Thing On. This is your host, a very chirpy Joseph Foster in the morning time. Then I'm with Alex Petrovich.
Hey.
I'm with Jade.
Hi.
And then our stunning, beautiful guest for today, Mr. Michael Fabry.
Hello.
Who is not a morning person.
Not really, so I'm like, sorry for late. I'm late in the evening as well. It wouldn't call me not a morning person.
It's not time specific.
I've had that lovely question you gave me, and I'm in the midst of a sugar crash the moment you started. I just need to go to bed. There's one right next to me.
You've had some paracetamol, you've had your pan of chocolat, you're good to go.
Yeah.
A fascinating glimpse behind the curtain there. Mm. I did buy croissants because we are recording so early due to Angela Barnes possibly being here and then not being able to.
Oh, right. We're here early because of her, and she's cancelled.
Yeah, that's correct.
So we could have done this later.
Yeah,
well, possibly.
I said that to you. I said, yeah, does Michael want to do it later?
And don't assume I'm as busy as her. I would be in bed right now.
I was told Michael insisted on still doing it at 10 a.m.
Listen, guys. Listen.
I thought maybe you were going to a football match.
No, nothing to do with me. I was told this was you.
Okay.
This is all from the brain of Joseph Foster.
Let's not play the blame game. Right. What happened was, I couldn't be bothered to change it because I'm going for a walk in the country in Lewis now.
Okay.
We can point fingers for the next hour and a half.
And we will.
It doesn't change the fact that we're all here and we're all together and we're all friends. Right, Jade?
Exactly.
Jade, livid with everyone is staring into my soul at the moment.
Well, let's just go to Jade. Jade, were you keen on a 10 a.m. start?
No, not really.
Well.
It's all right. It's fine. I've had 5 hours sleep, so I'll be really on it.
Also, you're a parent, so those opportunities don't come up that much.
Well, no, she slept all night, but it's just I got in at 2 and I got up. Well, I actually threw.
You got in at two from a gig in Eastbourne. Are you having an affair?
No, hang on, because I had to wait for the promoter to pack up, and he gave me a lift to this. So actually, I was on a train, so it's probably more like 1:30. But yeah. Anyway,
he gave you a lift.
We're here now.
Did he take you through the red light district of Eastbourne?
It feels like just that's all Eastbourne is. Really. Yeah. It's got that vibe of.
It's a constant red light district. So let's ask the question that's on everyone's lips. Eastbourne or Hastings?
I've been to Hastings once.
Eastbourne or Hastings?
Eastbourne or Hastings? Am I just supposed to have to pick one?
Yeah. You know, if someone said you have to spend the rest of your life, Eastbourne or Hastings?
Hastings, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd go Hastings.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eastbourne.
Yeah, the devil I don't know. I've not heard good things about Hastings.
No, but apparently, so I'm going to basically. My girlfriend Alice has become obsessed with Margate. Everything's Margate. We're going to Margate. And so now we're going to Margate. But I asked someone about it, and they were like, yeah, it's nice. It's kind of like a shit Hastings. And I was like, Hastings is already pretty shit.
Yeah.
So now I'm wondering what the deal is.
Well, Margate's just like. It used to be a big fairground there, didn't it? But I don't think
it used
anymore.
To be like one of those old holiday resorts, didn't it?
Yeah, and without that, I don't know what that is. That's sort of Butlins without the
Exactly, without
class.
The
people. That's not snobbery. I don't know.
But you cycled here. You're a cycleman.
I got one of those renter bikes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You're always on the rental bikes, actually, I think.
You can pay £78 a year, and I think that's too much money, and then I rent them several times a week, and I think I've racked up about £600.
How much are they?
Because I'm always late. This is the thing with the rental bikes, is because I normally walk to the station, but I'm always running late, so I have to get the bike to get to the train on time.
And do you have to put it back? So, like, when you cycle from there to here, have you had to find one of their docking stations?
I don't really know what happens if you don't. I haven't. It's against the lamppost outside.
Is it even like...
I did get a nut, because I took it to Dave Fensom's house.
In Woodingdean?
Yeah, I rented one, and I got this, like, email. We will play. No, they wanted £10 for taking out, and I get real beer in my bonnet about any kind of fine, even if I've done something obviously wrong.
You just left it there?
I took it to Dave Fensom's house. I took it there, and I figured, well, I just plug it back in again. I thought maybe that in the surrounding villages it would pass to that. Yeah. I'd never been to where he lives, and it's pretty remote.
Yeah.
And I was in the right state when I got there. It was a World Cup day.
So
and
really
I was sweating
oh, yeah,
for a solid
day.
Hour and a half. Dave offered me a bath. And a barbecue.
I remember that day. That was really
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
that's when you know you've turned up. That's when you know you've turned up something like the host mm. immediately offers you some sort of shout.
Yeah, yeah, well, I have to just put my sweaty clothes back on. But it's right. I was all right.
Everyone was really annoyed with me that day because I'm very outspoken about the fact that I hate football.
Mm.
And then I have a 1998 England World Cup shirt mm. and everyone was like, you can't just fucking turn
I
up
just assumed, I remember that, I just assumed that you loved football.
I don't love football, no. I love international football.
Oh, right.
Club
well, that's
football.
Like me. I can't be bothered with
yeah.
it until the... And I know that people that love football, that does annoy them.
I mean, but... Alex has a crippling addiction. You'd describe it as that, don't you?
Mm. Is it Brighton you follow, though? Is it
Fulham.
Fulham, okay.
One of our players got arrested for GBH because he punched our own coach.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Previous week, he fought with a teammate during a team yoga session.
You see...
That famously aggressive yoga.
Yeah, how do you...
Well, if you're not... in the mindset for yoga, it's going to have the exact opposite effect.
Jade is nodding her head.
Well, I went
as
to
if a... she's been involved in some sort of yoga fracas.
Jade's a famous yoga puncher.
No, I went to a yoga class the other day, and I don't normally do it.
Mm.
And it's one of those exercises that does make you feel shit. Mm. Like I felt really because I'm not flexible at all. And like everyone else is all like skinny mm. and flexible. And at one point I was like, I think I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm actually going to just burst into tears while everyone is like bending backwards and I'm like yeah. trying to do it. Doesn't, like you say, it doesn't make you feel good unless you're good at it.
Yeah. Also, yeah, if it's, I can understand that people could, it's something smug about yoga.
Yeah.
There's some people putting their legs around. I'm the same as you. I can't cross my legs.
Really?
I can't sit cross-legged. It's like primary school getting in trouble because we were supposed to sit cross-legged and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
And I can't say...
A whole team of people around
yeah, yeah.
you.
Yeah, and I couldn't say as like a five-year-old, I'm just not very supple. yeah. I just don't feel like Lisa, my girlfriend, she does... yoga and stuff, but I can't see where the exercise is coming in. Just, oh, it's really tiring and exhausting, and I'm just judging based on never doing it. But
I wouldn't be able to do it because of the fart worry.
Yeah, there's that.
I couldn't do it because of that. I'm out. Same reason I can't do massages, fart worry. I'm gonna fart. I farted when I met my girlfriend's mum. You know, it is a very real thing that happens to me. I can't do stuff like that.
Yeah,
waiting rooms are hard. I'm not doing it. I'm not farting all the time, guys, by the way.
I can hear you right now.
It's strategic farting. Like, as in, it happens at the least convenient time.
I can't strategically do it in a swimming pool. I was doing it in a swimming pool yesterday. I took my little girl to the local swimming pool. And I know there's people about, and I was trying to make moving around. Let's do some splashes. Because I wanted to cover up the bubbles that are happening. We ended up not going to she normally has lessons, and we ended up not going to that because we couldn't get the train to Lewis where she does that. So we went to a coffee shop for an hour and a half waiting for the thing, and waiting for this public pool to start. Mm. And she ate a load of cake and stuff, and I didn't think anything of it. And I really let her jump into a slide. She was doing so much stuff. And all of a sudden, she just went, I want to go home. And I didn't think that meant I'm going to throw up in a swimming pool. I just thought, oh, come on, let's have some more fun. And she just projectile vomited all over the steps. And I got her out and I apologised for myself. Sorry, she's been a bit sick on the steps and some of it has gone into the pool. And I'm thinking they're going to drain it. She went, is it dissipated? And the stuff in the pool that will have done. I'll be all right then.
Yeah.
She just said, is it mostly water? Yeah, mostly water. It's not made me feel a bit good about being in those pools.
Yeah.
Their attitude to it is, if you can't see it, it's not there.
Has it sunk to the bottom?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
I've always felt they're a bit gloopy, that those children swim pools.
Well, it's the piss. I remember when I was a very young man, I went to Ayanapa. And there was a pool in the club. And I was like, great, a pool in the club. And then my friend was like, you know they're full of piss.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, I've never shown... Because I was like gliding majestically through the water, like
yeah.
a seal, like a baby seal,
mm.
swallowing shitloads of it. And you know it's grim. And that's what really got me.
Well, there are people that for fun, well, not for fun, or they've got it into their head that it's good for them, drink urine and it doesn't kill them.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that diluted several thousand times, it's just...
It's the thought of someone else's, you know...
Yeah, because don't they drink their own?
They drink their own, this is true. they do. Yeah, I don't know why that's better.
Do you reckon one day there'll be like brands of piss?
Well, it's a would you rather game. Would you rather drink a cup of your own neat piss or somebody else's diluted by 10,000?
I always start the day with a cool glass of my.
I would say my own.
Yeah, you still have your own neat diluted in it. Sorry, somebody a cup of piss in a whole swimming pool, and you'd rather drink your own neat.
Oh. Neat.
Neat. No ice, nothing. I don't know.
On the rocks. No, yeah. Okay.
Do we get ice?
And the ice is your frozen piss. You're not diluting it. You're not cheating. Yeah, sorry to put you under pressure. Like from all you mentioned was yoga, and suddenly you're drinking your own piss. I feel I may have lowered the tone.
We are meandering towards pissing and shitting today, which is really weird.
Well, I'm going to bring it back to sport for a second, because we don't normally do topical things, but I saw...
that's the way, by the way, Alex starts every sentence.
What?
I'm going to bring it back to sport for 1 second. Yeah. Go on.
There was a sporting headline this morning, a doping scandal, and it was... let's have a look at it. Geir Hellegmo, the world bridge champion, has been done for doping. I didn't know you could take performance-enhancing drugs in card games.
Oh, is it a card game?
Bridge is a card game.
Yeah,
it is. And it's been done for doping. The world champion of bridge has been done for...
It depends what the doping is, because you can have these concentration pills now, can't you?
Lots of really? Okay.
I mean, if he was... Or just it was just antisocial because he was snorting lines.
Straight off the Joker.
Yeah. But... the bridge is supposed to be like a really kind of cunning, difficult game, but I just still can't help thinking of old ladies in the 70s playing bridge.
Me and my friend Phil accidentally were really drunk, and well, not accidentally. There's like a weird hotel around here. You know, all the hotels around here are weird. There's the Hoogstraden Hotel is around here as well. But there's like weird hotels, and me and Phil walked into one, and it was a bridge competition, and we were fucking hammered. And we tried to sit down and just pretend that we were there for the bridge competition, and then
spectators.
No, to play.
Oh, to play.
And then we'd never played before, and then gradually, sort of, all the old women left our table, and we were just we've just been mean, and we ruined some old ladies.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah. You should have maybe gone for the spectator angle.
Yeah, exactly. We're just here to see
your favourite player's name on your shirt.
Yeah.
So what's happening to him?
Margaret.
Number 77, Ethel.
Yeah.
What's happening to the man then? The druggy.
He's been banned. He's been banned from not allowed to touch a card for a year.
Not allowed to touch?
Not even in his own time.
Fuck off.
Say what drug you
had.
He's not allowed to breathe.
Synthetic testosterone?
Well, that is strange, because how's that going to enhance you mentally? I don't
know. We've probably just bought a bit.
Headline was the doping scandal rocking the bridge community.
Fair enough.
Which is the first thing anyone's ever heard about the bridge community.
To be fair, it's put the bridge community bang in the spotlight.
It's in flux. Yeah, exactly.
There was,
you don't get this shit with blackjack.
I feel bad for the dopers that still don't win.
Yeah,
I've heard about those recently. There's like somebody got. It just came on the news that somebody they were cheating, but they come eighth or something.
That's when it kind of goes under the radar.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like you could be average, and still not be like majorly successful. You're still making a career out of it.
Yeah,
I don't know, because I don't really know how the athletes are, like the sort of the people who do the 100 meters or whatever. Yeah. I don't know where the money is for that tennis, because tennis tournaments you can be pretty crap and do really well. Like Andy Murray's brother, I'm not saying he's crap, but he's probably really rich and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's like the real that's a bad point though, because I think he wins all the doubles.
He's like a doubles. Do you reckon doping happens in comedy?
I think it does. There's no benefit.
When I started, very long time ago now, but I used to do open spots, but the comics were really into the cocaine, like openly. Like you'd just go into the dressing room and they were just. But it just sort of died away when I turned up.
We all still do it, we just don't offer you any.
Yeah, I just literally look one, no, can't do it anymore, look at him.
I would find that really weird. Because now I think it'd be weird, but I suppose it's like when someone smokes in the pub.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that would now be like, what the fuck? Mm. But then it's like commonplace. The cocaine thing, because there were stages of the... I've watched a documentary that I've seen a thousand times, and you know one of those ones that you watch when you're like, no, I'm just going to watch it again. Mm. But like, there's one called Cocaine Cowboys about Miami, and then the start of all the cocaine importing from Colombia. And they're talking about it, and they're sort of just basically saying everyone was doing coke all the time in clubs, and it was just like, oh, good, how are you doing? Yeah, great. Yeah. It's like fucking like, what the fuck? Like, basically, like, I just think that would, even if it was normalised, stand out quite a lot. So, what kind of clubs are you talking about?
Well, the famous clubs.
Oh, really?
I mean, and they people would... I do think people exaggerate. I mean, even I'm exaggerating in some sense. So, that happened a couple of times. Most of the time, it didn't happen. And they probably, in this documentary you're talking about, oh, everyone was doing...
Yeah.
Probably, like... happened on occasion that there'd be a bit of a cokey night going on. Most people,
Pablo Escobar probably sold about 5 grams or something.
He's trying to get open mic.
But that's the thing, often you get these statistics like, oh, 1 in 5 teenagers is having sex before the, and you never hear about the other 4 who aren't. It's always like, oh, 1 in 5, and it's all that, that's 4 waiting. Yeah, there are 4 of us. I assumed us 4 were the non... That's not... I didn't mean that. But, you know, it's just...
No, go on.
I think that people in their imagination... Yes, but there were a few comics in that. I think because... Well, you'll know that a lot of stand-up comics of a certain generation go on endlessly about the good times when there was so much money to be made in the club circuit.
Yeah.
But I don't think that period was very long compared to the time where it was less like that. But I think there was an 8-year period where you would do about 5 gigs in London and you'd come home with £1,000 or whatever back in the 90s or whatever, sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just, and they were young, you know, the average age of a comic, you know, they were 20s, early 30s or whatever, and it was a bit more of a party time, I think. Whereas now, they were still young comics, but they can't afford cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. And they can't. But I've met people, because I think I'm quite a good judge of when somebody's on cocaine, because it's quite easy to tell that they're all fucked up. Mm. But I have thought that several comedians that I've met several times were on cocaine, but then were not on cocaine.
Well, like, a lot of them are just extroverts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And some of the ones that took a lot of coke. Weren't actually quite outgoing. I think they were just sort of
shy.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, you know, it's not great for. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. It's just weird. I mean, why bother? But I suppose
it's just a party lifestyle. I think
Legends only.
Yeah, which I was not invited to be part of. open spot.
Yeah, that's Steve Vest guy took a photo of you that's now going to be in some art gallery, isn't it?
It's in the Saatchi Gallery. I don't know if they've printed it or it's on some sort of video that comes and goes there.
What's this?
There's a video of me and Joe Rowntree. Photograph of me and Joe. So, yeah, Steve Best. It's a stand-up comic who takes lots of very arty black and white shots.
Yeah, well,
often while
it is really good.
While he's at gigs, he's very good. Yeah,
yeah.
And he's published a couple of books, and just the three of them have been selected. And the one of me and Joe is quite good. You wouldn't necessarily know it's anything to do with stand-up. All it is that I'm rather looking rather smug, lying on a sofa with my feet up.
Yeah.
And Joe is in a doorway with his head against the wall looking like the world's about to end.
Yeah.
And it just says, just going on, just come off. Yeah. Which is true. Actually, Joe was comparing and he was having to keep going. But when I had come off stage and just, look unbearably smug. So, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that.
I can show
it
you.
It is a good photo.
It's harder to judge your own act when you're doing something that's completely original, I suppose. Although sometimes it does get a bit samey, but it's unique, but it is samey at the same time.
And also, as we are all aware, someone who is structuring their year around Adelaide, Perth, Leicester, Brighton, Edinburgh is fucking loaded.
Yeah.
If you're literally doing all of those ones. So that's what kind of pisses me off, is I'm all right. I would be all right with someone if they said, my dad owns like an oil company.
Yeah.
And they said, I just have this amazing life. But I think that's what he wanted for me and I'm very happy and I'm doing this thing.
Yeah.
But they never do that. They're like, so just,
sperming
around, living the artist lifestyle. It's like, you're fucking loaded. Shut the fuck up.
You do get that impression a lot. Some of them, once you can fill 150 seats, then you can make a perfectly good living at all these festivals. A lot of them aren't doing that, so yeah.
Yeah, it's not a life I'd... Because of it, so you can't... That's the thing, no, I agree with you. Obviously you can, if you fill it 156, but it's not... It's all the hidden... It's your fucking accommodation, and then...
Yeah.
And then the PR bullshit that you have to do. Like, sometimes I go... When I went to Edinburgh, and I saw one guy had 10 flyers...
Yeah.
That were flyering for 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you're like I can't remember who it was, but I was given the flyer like 360 fucking times. But
did you ever go?
No, never went there. I would so if something's thrown at me, I'm not gonna go anywhere.
Collectively someone was employed for a day to fly you and you didn't go into I'm doing Edinburgh this year and I don't know what to do about flying, so I'm terrible at it myself. I think I put people off.
I think I do. I'm awful.
So I have to pay someone. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing the free fringe and just hoping to.
Even if you pay one guy for an hour though, a day, it's 250 fucking quid.
250 for an hour.
Alex is building up his flyering empire. Yeah. It's tenner an hour, but it's 25 days.
Oh, of course.
Who did it for me? It was a local Axelhoff. His name's escaped me for a second, but he was really good at getting people in at a very difficult time of day. I don't suppose that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Is there like a hierarchy of flyers? Like, are there people that have
got the sick flyers that you see, and they know that they're sick as well.
Yeah.
I think there's an awards as well, isn't there? Like a flyer in Edinburgh. I'm sure I heard like Sean McLaughlin went along because his flyers were really good.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone told me there's like these flyer awards in Edinburgh and everything.
There's what I've said, but you see them smashing flyering.
Mm.
Like it's effortless while you're standing there going, free comedy.
I can't do it. Free comedy show. Yeah.
When I was 18 and also when I was 19, I worked for a company as a flyer for the whole month of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And then the first year was really fun, like, just finished school and up in Edinburgh away from my parents for a month and stuff. But the second year, it felt like I hadn't stopped flyering. It was like straight away, it's like, oh my God, I'm
back
doing
to
this.
It. Yeah,
whole
gap
in between your whole life vanished.
Yeah, exactly.
It could feel like that with a tedious job. It feels like you're there forever and then you stop doing the job and you can remember a week of it.
Career flyers.
Yeah, there's people who make quite a lot of money. If you fly for 80 quid a day for 8 hours of flying, now 8 hours of flying to you and I is a unachievable task.
Yeah.
But some people are, I don't know what they are, fucking annoying, and they can just do.
Well, if they're getting that for like 1 hour,
and some people like, so that's the low, that's the cheap, that's the base rate.
Mm.
The top ones will be on, I don't know, 20, 30.
Really?
Because they will fill shows,
and if they're doing 5-6 hours a day.
Yeah. Although what I don't get, so say for instance I get like flyering, I pretty much get flyering 2 hours before your show.
Mm.
Although I think that's quite excessive.
Yeah.
I remember there was one year that we were in the Globe Bar and then someone was doing a midnight compilation show and he was always flyering with us and our show was at like 6 or 7 or something and I was just like, what the fuck are you doing here, mate? As if people are going to be like, oh, it's
People
half
do.
12.
People fly all day for, I mean, Brighton Fringe as well, they do it all day long.
Well, there's someone said to me about one of those paid things. He said he was like saying that he wouldn't fit. I'm not going to bother naming who it is because he probably won't want to talk. But he was in one of those like the hotel-y paid for venues.
Yeah.
And he said that it's difficult because you go, rather than going, say for instance, if your venue's in like a bar or a pub, you go, it's in there.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to get in there. Whereas if it's a hotel, you're like, right, you go into the lobby, you get in the lift, floor four, it's conference room B, it's just fucked. He said the guy who was asked...
Is this Edinburgh? Is this
Edinburgh, right? Yeah. So he... exactly. So that makes it infinitely harder.
Really hard, yeah.
And he said that the guy after him sold out every night and he flew for 8 hours a day, every day. And he actually made it into a profitable business.
Yeah. I just don't know... I don't know if people have the energy to do a gig after being on the street.
No, I find it really emotionally draining. But then again, I am lazy.
Yeah, oh, it might just be that, that I just don't have that level of conscientiousness to do it.
Like, I've got a broken toilet seat at my house and a new toilet seat that has been there for about 2 weeks just because I cannot be fucked. Like, and every time I look in the bathroom, I'm like, you can solve this. You can do it.
Yeah.
But I just can't bring myself to it.
I just painted a wall in my house.
You painted a wall? That's big. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, Lucy, what she does is she will pull wallpaper. She can be quite destructive, but doesn't always do the actual any work.
Oh, right, so you can
rips things down and waits for it to either... It's normally her dad or my dad that fixes the damage. But when her dad does something, I feel like I should do something. So I have painted the kitchen...
painting's hard.
The bathroom wall, but I'm halfway through it, and it's never going to get done. So
painting's really hard. I was telling these guys before I've discovered something amazing. Last night I was getting really drunk, and I have this loft hatch. So basically, I've opened the loft hatch, and then we got a ladder fitted, and then so we can go up there and store shit. But there's a hatch that leads out onto the roof, and I've never been through it before. My friend was there. Yeah. Awesome.
You've got a hatch in your roof. You've got like an escape hatch, and you've never gone through it.
Well, so basically,
that's just insane to me. That's like Batman and Robin. Like that, they've got that fireman's pole thing to the Batman. They're just just going down the stairs.
Well, so basically it's one of those things you have to lift up from underneath.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like, so basically if I lift it up, then it starts sliding, and you're like, because the bit of it where you lift it up is actually a roof. I was like, what's on the other side? Is there just a huge drop? Am I going to drop it and then it'll go down? I'm on the third floor, so it literally could be really bad.
Yeah.
So I waited for my friend was around last night, and I was like, you can help me do this. I mean, he fucking would have just done it because he's like so much better than I am. But like literally he is one of those people that gets into a loft and goes, you just walk along the beams. Whereas I'm like, I'm so fat, I will fall through the But like, so he helped me last night, and we found another, Michael, it's another world. It is fucking insane. Yeah, so it's totally flat around the roof bits. So, yeah, so basically there's three flats in the block.
Yeah.
So it's not like a massive block of flats, but it is literally chim chimney up there. Like, my friend stood on the chimney last night, but it's all flat and it's got walls around it. You can have a barbecue.
Cool.
It's insane. Yeah. We'll have to go. We'll all have to go.
I can't wait for
to the roof.
Yeah.
That's where we could be right now.
That's where we could be right now.
We've got a feature then, haven't we? It's called Plots That About.
Plots that a plots, 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 that a plots that about.
So yeah, I give you and Joe a film each, and they're real film titles, and you have to make up the plot to the film,
right?
Embellish as much as you like, and who you think's in it and stuff like that. And at the end, Jade will decide which of the two films she'd most like to see. And at the end, I'll reveal what the real plots were about.
Wonderful.
And Joe will go first as our resident,
right?
And I always give Joe a nice film. Joe, your film is Angels in the Outfield.
Awesome. Angels in the Outfield. Kate Winslet. Set in the 1920s. It's only white baseball on the TV. That was, you know what I mean, when it was only white baseball. is that point. Now, Kate Winslet is a coach, a baseball coach, and she has a separate, like, under coach. What do you call it? You know, this sort of thing.
Like an assistant coach?
Assistant coach, yeah. She has an assistant coach who is Danny DeVito. And they are coaching the first Mexican baseball team. Okay? And they, she has to train them all up. And then a lot of the time, it's sort of like the opposite of one of those, you know, like in the sort of, what's that film where it goes, "Oh, Captain, my Captain"? The Dead Poets Society. So, like, I have never seen that film, but I imagine they go into an underprivileged area and then they get to know everyone and things like that. But this is completely the opposite. They hate her from the moment that they meet her till the end credits roll. They think she's a cunt. And they always call her, what do they call her? Stupid pale face. The whole time. And they, like, vandalise her shit. But she keeps doing it because she is doing community service. So she hates them as well.
What'd she get that for?
She got community service because she was race fixing. She's a real bitch. I mean, they are right. Like, she's not a good person. It's a film entirely populated by bad people. Apart from the Mexicans, they're all right. They don't want to be playing fucking baseball. They don't care. So the first training goes badly, as ever. And then at the end of the first training, they kick the shit out of her. Right. So she comes back, you know, arm in a sling. It was really bad. Like, it's quite brutal. Have you seen Irreversible?
No.
No, all right, don't worry about it. But some of these guys will have. So, yeah, like the first scene in Irreversible, there's a bit in the first scene of Irreversible where they cave a guy's head in with a fire extinguisher, but it's just her arm. So instead of her head, it's like her arm. For those people who've seen it, everyone else is just fucked off with me. So the first training session goes really badly, but then they find out. So it's part of, because it's the 1920s, they just want their own area. And obviously in films people are like, so the mayor comes down and he's like, if you win the state championships, we will give you your own area to live, because he's an arsehole as well. And they're like, okay, well, we need to fight for our community then. And he's like, and this is your coach, and it's that bitch that I hate. So her assistant coach, who was played by
Danny DeVito,
does an armed robbery in the middle of the film for almost no reason, because he's quite rich, but he just loves the thrill. And then he steals a ring, and one of the teammates of the team who is played by, I don't want to be offensive, Benicio Del Toro. Is that offensive, maybe?
I'm not offended.
Okay, good. I don't know any Mexican actors, and they always seem to, like, just stick people who aren't from there. Like, have you seen the new Narcos show? Narcos is, I'm not getting off subject, I will go back to the film. Narcos, obviously about Pablo Escobar in Colombia, but the guy they got to play him was from somewhere else. So, and a lot of it's actually in Colombian. So yeah. Apparently, we watch him, we're like, this is so authentic. Yeah. But, like, Colombians are like, why have they got this fucking, like, Welsh guy?
Yeah, I think that happens in Breaking Bad. I think Gus Fring,
yeah.
He speaks a lot of, I don't know which language, is it Mexican? Like,
yeah, Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah, Spanish, yeah. But apparently he's just going, so there he is. I would say, what have you done with all my... That's the accent.
What are you done with my gubbins?
What do they make? What drug is it? Yeah.
Meth.
Me crystal meth. Blue one. But yeah.
So Benicio Del Toro wants to propose to his wife, and Danny DeVito and him build up a friendship, sort of like Ian Wright and Mr. Pigton. And if you haven't seen that video, then you should give it a watch, because it's the only thing that makes me cry. And he so he gives them the thing from the bank robbery, and Benicio del Toro starts crying because it's the only act of kindness he's ever had. And then it's the big game, and everyone's ready for it. They're like fucking ripped, and then they play the game, lose, and then set fire to the stadium. Angels of the outfield. Fuck yeah. And at the end they play at the end, as the end credits, they play Highway to Hell.
So who was Benicio del Toro? Because he was one of the
he was one of the players, yeah. But it's a young Benicio del Toro, like before fucking Fear and Loathing.
Okay. And so the ring thing, so when it was for no reason, did he just give him the ring afterwards? That was just, he did the robbery for no reason.
No, he gave him the ring before the big game because he knew he wanted to propose to his wife if he won. But then they lost, so he didn't propose.
Okay.
They just sold the ring.
Was she in the stadium?
She was not.
Okay, good.
She was working, mate. Give her a break.
All right. I don't want mine to be, I'm not going to be as long as that.
Right. Michael, yours is
he's got a Boris bike outside.
He's waiting. I'm on the clock.
One missed call.
One missed call. This is a sci-fi. Don't know why yet.
I knew yours would be sci-fi.
And this is this is a prequel to E.T.
Already hooked.
Well, it's not a prequel. It's a thing that runs alongside E.T.
Like a spin-off.
It stars lots of other E.T.s. And the first part of the film is basically they're going about their business. They've just done a little away trip, a little holiday.
Away day.
Away day. And just a little bit, about a third through the first act, somebody says, "Where's Dave?" Which is E.T.'s real name. We never found that out. It translates as Dave. In the meantime, they kind of form a search. They get together. I think Dave's missing. We're going to have to search the ship. It does occur to him that he might have been left on the Earth, because he doesn't normally go out for the away days. He normally uses the opportunity to catch up with his crochet. He doesn't normally go out, so assume he's just missing somewhere on the ship. So they're having the meeting, and this is when first E.T. tries to phone home, but of course they miss the call. Oh. They're having a meeting. Dave is ironically, and the next thing is just is that E.T.'s all them searching everywhere, like they're searching the ironing room, they're checking in all the cupboards in the pool room,
checking in all the cupboards.
Yeah.
Loving this spaceship.
And every time, like, one goes into one of the offices and just walks out just as the phone's going, like, he's trying every phone on the ship, all the different numbers he knows, and keeps missing the call. And then finally, act three, he's like, E.T. is dying, they only realise where he is because they hear, just for some reason, Elliot's irritating squeaky voice is so annoying that it can pierce space time and it just starts fucking with their computers, and they follow the irritating voice all the way to Earth, and they pick up E.T. and after E.T.'s hugs Elliot, he comes in and says, "I need a fucking shower." That little kid is all over me. That is missed call.
Wow. That was right. Jade, over to you.
Right, yes. So, I mean, Angels in the Outfield. It was good. There were lots going on. Mm. A lot going on in that one.
Thank you.
It sounded like it would be like a runtime of about 3 hours. There was a lot going on, but it was good. I liked it. But I'm going to have to say, I've always wondered what happened the other side of, you know, with the ETs. So, I mean, this is going to answer all the questions that everyone has about what, where ET's call was going. So my winner today is definitely One Missed Call, because it's answered all those questions.
It's
from
just
the
One Missed Call.
Yeah, that's the name of it, but I think, yeah.
Well, okay.
I'll
have to start again.
It's a symbolic call, though.
That sounds like an awful rom-com.
What, One Missed Call?
Yeah.
Right, the real plots. One Missed Call is actually a horror film.
Oh, right.
Be a horror film. It's
yeah, it is horrible, isn't it, when that happens?
Well, when what happens?
One Missed Call.
Oh, yeah.
you can edit that out, Joe.
Great input.
And our DIY discussion.
So One Missed Call, yeah. So it's when Beth Raymond witnesses the death of two friends, she knows there's more at work than just a tragic coincidence, because before they die, they both receive one missed call from their future selves.
Oh, fuck off. And before they die, if they're dead, how can they have future selves?
And basically,
that's the first hole.
The missed call is playing them how they're going to die, basically.
Right, okay.
It's not really missed call then, is it? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Cool, haven't they?
But then the film's missed call, you've missed it.
But how do they know what? Yeah.
Maybe it's
yeah.
A,
I mean, that's
maybe we're just going to have to watch it and find out.
Should have been called One Voicemail.
One conversation with your future self when you die. Kind of gives it away.
You can just
it?
Tell that I was in a boardroom. Okay, guys, what are people like at the moment? I'm thinking mobiles.
Hold on, I've just got a missed call. Wait a minute.
Excellent, Nathan.
Angels in the Outfield. Great pickup on the outfield baseball reference. It is a baseball film.
Thanks,
but
man.
It is slightly more light-hearted than that. Foster kid Roger loves the Anaheim Angels, and even though they're the worst team in the major leagues, his estranged dad promises to reunite the family if the Angels make it to the World Series. So Roger decides to ask for some divine help and prays that his favourite team will turn things around. Soon, a real-life angel named Al shows up in his response and helps the team on their winning streak, and it's literally like really slaps it with like these like kind of weird kind of see-through kind of angels like tripping up fielders on the outfield like that, playing like
who
practical
plays?
Jokes pinching them and stuff.
Have you
like
watched
that.
It?
No, but someone was telling me about it. The little kid's played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and
oh.
The head angel is Christopher Lloyd.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
They were both sort of bumming around for work, you can tell.
It was weird when you don't realise actors were child actors.
Yeah. Because Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in loads of stuff, wasn't he?
Yeah, I didn't like sitcoms and things.
Third Rock.
Yeah, I was going to say Third Rock.
Yeah.
But
never, was that funny, Third Rock, from the stuff? I remember watching it a couple of times and not liking it, but I might have been just because I didn't have any taste.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't think
I think it, I watched it like from time to time it was funny.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't like funny, like I'm trying to think of one. So you say for instance something like I don't want to, so like New Girl, if you don't like New Girl and you think Zoe Deschanel is a twat, then that's fair enough, but it is quite funny. Like it's a funny show. Like I can watch it because it's quite funny if it's on.
I seem to remember it being a bit laboured. I don't know, like
it was a bit so that's what I mean. So that one is not, it won't keep me hooked. I wouldn't like watch a couple of episodes. I'd just be like, well, this is on.
It's just a little kid. I couldn't define
how old is he in that though, because I'm sorry, he's like must be teen.
Yeah.
He was in loads of stuff before that as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, well I remember,
I don't really know why. What's his defining role?
He got an ice skate in the face at the beginning of Halloween H2O.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's
500 why. Days of Summer?
No, he was before that surely.
I think I picked up on that film where he got, like, cancer.
Oh, yeah,
that was good.
That was the one
yeah.
where I'd never heard of him until then, I don't think.
Yeah, that was
actually a really good film.
Yeah, it was all right.
And I'd never heard of it before.
It was one of those ones I didn't want to see, but that's all there was. So
but
I
then
saw
he's
it, and then I liked
well,
it.
Well, actually ruining... But he survives at the end, which is, I was actually really, I was like, do you know what? If he fucking dies, it's so depressing.
Sometimes the depressing end is actually the that's not the right way to go. It's sort of like that lacks imagination. Where they just it has to have the sad ending. Yeah, he's fine. He's just fine.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, congratulations, Michael. You won Plots That About.
Yeah, I'm quite.
How do you feel?
I'm secretly pleased. I was dreading this bit.
Plots That About!
Have you seen the audition of the guy who played Elliot in England?
Yes, I have, yeah.
It's fucking intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a good actor, that kid.
Yeah. It's actually because I don't. Yeah, he's not that irritating, really. Yeah. See, that was mean of me. But
I don't actually. I don't. I like. The only thing I remember from E.T. is bicycles. I haven't seen it for so long that it's like literally.
Yeah.
I bet like I have like it was not something that I would choose to watch. It's just on. When is it on? It's not on at Christmas, is it? Like just on randomly.
Yeah, it was. I've got this children's storybook of it that I read occasionally. So like a sort of bedtime storybook to my kid. They did a new version. Where they there's a bit where they're about to take over the thing, and the police are there with guns, and then they decide to get rid of the guns and just have truncheons, and everyone's sort of that's spoiling that's like kind of going over the films from the past and just trying to make it less
aggressive. Yeah.
But then I always thought, even as a tiny kid, watched that film. What are they going to do? Shoot them in the face? Yeah. I thought it was stupid then. It's just a bad idea for them to have guns. Like, they're not getting off the bikes. We have no choice. The shotguns. We could probably take out three with one. How many of these children can we? As long as we get the alien, then the kids are collateral damage.
we'll take the hit on that.
Maybe I'd like it to end there, where they just blow these children's heads off, and it ends like Holy Grail. No credits, nothing.
I'm literally picturing the bike floating where you've got the moon behind it, and then literally the shot and the bike dropping.
It's bad as well because like superpowers and governments now, it's really difficult to cover anything up. So if they did do that and they shot the thing to get the alien, then those kids would go down in history as rebels trying to help the, you know, about 50 years ago or something. But now they can't do it because they want to have. It's hard to be white and in power now. Isn't it? Pain. Can't do what you used to do.
The smartphone is kind of also, it does change the plot of film so much now that you couldn't necessarily have, like, why isn't he photographing E.T.? You're like, immediate Instagram. It wouldn't be like, oh, I've got to keep this alien secret. It would be like, wow, I'm going to be a millionaire with
it. He's already got his own profile.
Imagine how many fucking followers he'd have, E.T., if you were just like, this is a fucking alien. And he's got an Instagram. And everyone would be like, dude, it's cool.
No one would believe. It wouldn't be believed, would it?
But I mean, also, even if he was, he would already be a meme, you know, and he dresses him up in people clothes. He would already, if someone filmed him, would be like, what the fuck is that guy? Like, and he would be like a meme, and it's like, I think he's like a crack addled maniac.
E.T. is voiced by a 90-year-old woman, or it's a really old woman who smoked loads and had this really. And you, once you know that, it sounds. you do hear an old woman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And noisy makes he often makes his noises, and that's the sound guy's wife with a cold.
Really?
Yeah. He sort of makes these like noises. that's his wife with a cold, and a 90-year-old woman is he? I don't know.
Unfortunately, they did have to keep her with a cold for the whole of the.
Just kept that with the
just by an open window with wet hair.
On the verge of getting better, like just stick her outside.
E.T. was resurrected, but the tragic tale of the sound guy's wife eventually succumbed to him.
Don't George Lucas and Steven Spielberg reference each other's films quite a lot, and that's why he's dressed as Yoda.
I think they would use the same company as well. Well, I think Industrial Light and Magic is George Lucas's company that Steven Spielberg used for special effects, I think, something like that.
Well, I like the physical. Fuck CGI, fuck it, it looks shitter than those old Star Wars films where they have puppets. Just use puppets are great.
I don't know if it's me and you just being an old git like being able to get to thinking that.
Or I
had noticed, I take my little kid to the cinema, and she's just turned three, but she does some of these huge CGI things. I've noticed the kids in the cinema and her, they get a bit, they can't follow it as well as those very old school Disney
films.
I'm not one of these people, I love the old Disney films, but they're simpler, and I think kids can follow them a little bit better.
The people who are like
too much going
too much visually.
Yeah, I think they're too. It's like they're overstimulated by. Can't. This is 2-year-olds. I mean, maybe later on, you know.
I don't mind people who are like really like the old Disney films. What I don't like is people like, didn't you know he was a Nazi? Didn't you know he was a paedophile or something? Like, Walt Disney.
Yeah.
But some, but I saw,
what he was racist, I think, or anti-Semitic or something like that.
There's a big pedo rumor, isn't there? Because unfortunately, no one can just like children.
No,
I get told it as if people are like, look what I know. Actually, yeah. I've got loads of depth, and it's like just because you think a guy who might be a paedophile, let's be honest, is a paedophile. It's not like a conversation.
Is there evidence for it, or it's just that someone said it?
I don't know. I hear things. Yeah. I just repeat them.
I know that sort of paedophiles do go to quite elaborate things to get, like create worlds around them to get nearer to kids.
Yeah.
But that is a bloody.
I'll just
have to create an entire business empire.
That is really hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Southern Rail has made travelling such a horrible thing.
This is why I missed my swimming the other day.
Yeah.
I got the train, sat there, and then just got off the train again 15 minutes later because we missed our lesson. Oh. And then she puked in the other pool. Protest. You should be being taught, not thrown in by you. Amateur. Can't even swim himself. I can't wait to spot when she finds out. That I've been made, you know, she can swim like probably like she's only two, but
are you basically
out, I can't.
Are you basically walking and with your upper half of your body pretending to
well,
swim?
Well, I can only be in the shallow pools, although she's just worked out that in this, I can't take her this pool again because she's worked out, she's very tall for her age.
Yeah.
Just stand.
Oh.
So she just like just walks now. I need you to swim, but I can walk.
Why yeah. would, if I can put, if my feet can touch the bottom, why
yeah.
would I?
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, she is very tall. So
how old is she now?
She just turned three. But so tall for her age.
This is the walking, talking phase.
Yes,
the hurting phase. There's going to be a lot of good hurts coming up, I think. Well, you know, when kids start to learn to walk, and then they're like fucking like they're like table height. You're like, this is going to go off.
Yeah, she's been walking for quite a while. Walking came very late.
Is it two?
They can start much younger than that. Like,
oh, really?
Start about 6 months. Yeah, sometimes.
That's creepy, they can do.
It's very rare.
She was
quite late
with
walking. I think it was over a year. I might have that wrong.
I still haven't
learned.
Some kids can walk very, very...
Okay.
Just walk out of the womb.
It's like going through your roof hatch. So spacious up here.
She spoke very, very early, which is probably why she didn't learn to walk. She was like, carry me over there.
Point me at that pool, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
What was her first word? Or are you not actually sure?
I should know, shouldn't I? She was sort of started with the sort of daddies and mummies first.
Yeah.
It was a bit, very, very cliched.
the classics.
Yeah.
What are you doing this afternoon anyway?
I don't know. Probably... I don't know if I'm looking after the child or not. I don't know if Lucy's finished her work. Probably because she's had her this morning, so I'll probably get lumbered with her this afternoon. We essentially, although we live together, as far as Robin's concerned, we are divorced. You haven't, are you? And we kind of like, we both have her on a Sunday. Normally we try and do something family-ish, but yeah.
Does your partner work like normal hours?
Well, she works... from home, so my kid's in nursery quite a lot, so that's getting easier. We've only just started doing that. We didn't occur to us.
When does school start? Like, how old?
Five. 5 or something. Oh, we'll probably find out.
Yeah. She's going to be 3 months.
Yeah. No, we've upped to the 2.5 days in the nursery. We figure, because that's a bit of a shock, just suddenly to just like
phase it
in.
I think first day in nursery, I made myself throw up. Apparently,
I'm not surprised.
literally, as soon as my mum put me on the floor in the nursery, just vomed.
No one.
Well, I've got to go home, haven't I? Mm. I was only like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Were you a sickly child, Alex? I already know the answer to that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Quite the forward thinker, though.
Yeah.
Throw up on myself. Have you continued this?
I've seen
you do it during gigs. Halfway through, sorry, I've got to come off stage now.
Call my mum.
Soiled.
Mum, I need to go home.
Have you ever walked off something on stage because it's been?
There were times I should have done and haven't.
Yeah,
I was dying horrendously once at a Christmas gig. And people were shouting and throwing menus and stuff. And I should have just given up. You know, this isn't going to work. But I don't know, some sort of professional pride. Well, actually, it was denial. I was in my head thinking that this isn't as going. I didn't face how badly it was going until it was over.
Yeah.
And I got off stage and Carl Donnelly was hosting. Why did you stay on stage? That was not fixable.
Is it a requirement of, do you have to do, if you're getting paid, you have to do a minimum amount of time to get the money, or?
Well, there isn't.
On a Christmas gig, though, surely that rule doesn't.
I think they probably would have preferred I cut my losses and left. They know that Christmas gigs can go wrong sometimes. Mostly they don't, actually. Mostly they're fine. It's just when they're so bad that Christmas gigs gives up this reputation for being terrible, because they are more likely to be terrible. But that one in five of them is terrible, which is a lot.
Yeah. You know,
somebody.
Yeah, that's a higher percentage, isn't it? Than normal.
Yeah, Christmas time for comedians is like a war, you know, going on. Someone's dying somewhere.
It's pretty unpleasant. I was doing a support for someone and it was 15 minutes of silence. It was really bad, but I was so I knew I had to stay on because there's no one else, there's no other, there's no
support,
other act.
I don't know what it's like actually if you're dying as a support, because you are there, you're the first section really,
and you have to be, you have to do your time, because if
because
it's weird if you go on, die for 5 minutes and then just walk off.
Anyway,
do you want to say goodbye to everyone, Joe?
I want to say goodbye to everyone. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Michael. I'm going to touch your knee. Thank you, Alex. Going to touch your knee.
Cheers.
And thank you, Jade. You're too far away.
You.
Bye.